Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And today you get to actually listen to me. I have earplugs and I don't use your text or anything. I'm driving over on this, but I have earplugs and I'm driving down 95. And it's very interesting meeting with them last night. So I'll tell you a little about it. And how are you doing, Randy?
Hey, you know what? I'm doing pretty well out here in California, enjoying the breeze, enjoying the cool weather here in Northern California, where it's been 110, seems like all summer. It's, mid-80s right now, so we got the breeze going, and digging life in NorCal up here by Yosemite National Park. All the fires are put out. The smoke is cleared. It's just a beautiful day here in the mountains. So, loving life. Loving life. Yeah.
Thank God, all that's clear. Real estate world, it's kind of going. Our real estate world is still moving along really well, which is really great because I know a lot of people were concerned that the economy, but nobody knew after the election that a lot of people were afraid the economy would take a big dive. And we have a lot going on with the stock market and concerns, and we never know 100%. So much of what happens day to day makes a big difference. But as far as the real estate world, looks like across the country, other than, of course, we have some areas that are devastated, which God bless us, it's going to take time. Everyone needs to pitch in, all of us, because I don't know how the government is going to do it. But overall, with the economy, things are still moving. And there's no signs of it slowing down right now, other than there's a shortage of inventory. So if sellers are really wanting to sell, now's a good time to do it because, when it's a shortage of inventory, they usually get a higher price. So what do we have going for today? I'm interested.
Well, coming up in about, 15 minutes or so, Mark Rhodes is going to join us. And he's the national director for a thing called the Marriage Encounter. And obviously, that ties into everything we do ties into real estate in one way or another. And of course, I think marriage ties into buying houses because often it's two people who need to get along. The sad thing about it, it seems like, is that, two people often, get married and without being intentional about kind of working on the togetherness thing, what can happen is kind of two separate lives kind of happen, and dude goes hunting, dude goes, fishing, dude does all this stuff on the weekends maybe, and the wife does whatever else, and all of a sudden 10 years down the road, they're kind of like married but single, if you will, living single lives. And so this Marriage Encounter is a pretty cool deal. It's Monica and I first went to one at an Episcopal church where again, it's a weekend where couples get together and literally just kind of reconnect. They spend time writing to each other and then reading what they've written. There's just a lot of that kind of stuff where it's really focused on, helping couples do stuff they wouldn't do on their own. And it really kind of then communicate, get connected, and
oh, by the way, when they communicate and get connected, they're a whole lot, you know, the whole real estate buying a house process is, you know, goes smoother.
So, oh, I know. It's so fun selling a house when somebody's getting divorced. You know, it's like, it's a kind of a, it's so much better if they're buying a house and just got married, or they're downsizing, or there's other reasons that they're still committed to each other. That's much better.
Have you, this just brings up a question, because I know with, your years in real estate experience, I mean, I'm guessing you've had a few occasions where, you know, you're walking through and showing a house and, you know, the husband really likes it. The wife might not so much, and probably get in a little bit of a argument, right? That's probably happened more than once, you know, showing a house. I'm guessing.
Well, you know, a lot of times, I hate to say the women win a lot of times. I mean, if we had to take the odds and look at statistics, it's usually going to be what the woman really wants. But no, I think you do. That's a great question, because I think as a broker agent, we have the ability to kind of mediate that out a little bit. Say, hey, you know, everyone's going to like something different, vice versa. Why don't you both give me your entire wish list, everything. Even if it's out of your budget, whatever, just give me your wish list. Let's see if we kind of held it two together. So I think if, you know, maybe they fight when they get home, but not so much in front of us from what I see. You know, you can tell, I'm not walking in that house. I'm not going any further. It's over. No. You can definitely tell if somebody likes it or not likes it. But, we kind of try to make it a little bit more fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, I think as I think it through, you in some ways might even kind of become like a marriage counselor type, or at least, you know, trying to mitigate, you know, the differences that might occur as even a walkthrough in a house. But I just think that, again, the marriage, the whole kind of, and we've not really talked a bunch about marriage, and this is a concept that that really a lot of different religions have adopted it. So it's kind of a cool weekend. They call it the weekend encounter, and you know, Catholic churches do it, Episcopal churches do it, and this is Mark Rhodes is the national director for the Assembly of God's version, I guess, or office, if you will. And he's a really funny guy. We've actually gone through one of the marriage encounters with him. And super funny guy, and he's just enjoyable to talk to, and been doing this a long time. And so, yeah, that's coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. This weekend's been pretty crazy. You know, I'm a big football fan, and you and I love to kind of tippy toe around some of this without getting too into it, because we're not a political show. But I know we both kind of have some strong feelings on this whole, kneeling thing, right, for the national anthem, where the NFL players, you know, are kneeling. Yeah. Some are, some aren't. And it's kind of a real kind of divisive thing right now in our country. And I heard last night on TV, I heard, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, I heard him talking about it. And he said, again, from his perspective, it's not, you know, it isn't a it isn't a racial thing. It isn't a political thing. You know, it's just this is not the place with the national anthem. It's not the place to make these kind of statements. You have all kinds of other platforms to make statements these days. You have Twitter. You have Facebook. You have, as a professional football player, you've got thousands and sometimes millions of Twitter followers. And so, you know, you literally can persuade all kinds of people about whatever you want to persuade them in without disrespecting. And I guess that's where a lot of veterans and a lot of, I think some of the leaders, probably the president and the attorney general and others, are saying, this is about respecting the country, the flag, people who've died, you know, for the flag. And
I agree. It seems
like families of fallen kind of soldiers, people like that are the ones who are kind of feeling, the disrespect there.
my take is, and, you know, we bring this up all the time because communication in life, I mean, we're human, we all have to communicate, right? Everybody, there's so many things that we don't always know the whole story, so it's so easy for one little thing to start, and by the time it ends up, it's all over the place, and everybody's yelling and screaming, and they're not looking at the big picture. So I totally agree with you that this isn't the place to do it. And the United States of America, we have a huge sports arena. I mean, so much money is put into sports. And when it comes to football, you have so many families that are literally living paycheck to paycheck that still put a lot of money into football to support the team, support the game, and go there. And I just think that from a leadership standpoint, that the NFL has a higher leadership responsibility. And that's where I agree with President Trump saying, hey, fire him. Don't do that. That's ridiculous. And because you look at the big picture, and I think we, when we're in a leadership position, and they are, owe that to the community, owe that to everybody. Not to get into this one first two people and they're saying we're taking a stand here, and then now all of a sudden it's out of hand. Because I agree with their individual opinions, and I understand why people want to kneel, et cetera. But I personally think that it's not the place to do it. I think that that's wrong. And President of the United States, he definitely has a right to say something about it. I think these people that are doing nothing but knocking him on the left and acting like idiots, get over it. You know, because all you're doing is stirring up stuff, making a lot of people get very upset, and it's like pouring, you know, a gasoline on the fire. So that's my two cents for what it's worth. And I know many won't agree with me, but, you know, I think we all have a right to our opinions, right?
So. Yeah, and you know, again, if you, you know, I think if you want to, you know, if you want to not come out, you know, during the national anthem, then don't come out. And that's your way of saying, hey, I, rather than just the divisive kind of some kneeling, some standing, you know, some teams, I think three teams didn't even go out during the national anthem. They stayed in the locker room just to avoid the division among their players, and it's just pretty crazy. And then you see the, you know, and you know, the seems like the politicians get into it on TV, and they're doing the kneeling thing in Congress, and the ones who agree with the people kneeling were, it was just crazy. So, and I agree. If sports has always been for us, I know growing up being a sports fan, it's always been a place where, you know, especially after Jackie Robinson, right, and the whole, you know, integration of baseball and sports, it's been a place where, gosh, everybody works together for a common cause to win a game, to win a league, to win a World Series or a Super Bowl. And you kind of put aside all of the division, you know, for the game, if you will.
And, it shouldn't be happening. Yeah. And when they were talking about it's racist and all that, that was some of the comments that were made that President Trump, I don't agree with that either. And I think a lot of people that look at, you know, they when you get into your county government, state government, federal government, I mean, there's funding at different levels that goes into these stadiums and money being made and all the different taxes and things. You know, there's a lot going on that our president of the United States had every right to make a comment. And he's a true leader. He's not a wimp. He has a backbone. These people can say as much as they want about him, and he's going to do what he feels is right to do. So, but I think we're just getting so out of hand on everything. And I'm really, I've always loved journalism. I love journalism. And I don't respect a lot of the journalism these days. I think a lot of it is coming out of left field. It's so destructive. So anyhow, but it's just, with, I guess with social media and everybody gets everything so quickly now, it's just going to, it's escalating in some ways. We've gotten a lot of trouble. But,
yeah, it's
where the
kooky,
heart is.
So
we can only control ourselves, right? We can only individually control it. But hey, on another note, I was asking somebody what they thought about what's going on in North Korea the other day, and they didn't even know. I'm like, oh wow, some people really don't watch the news, right? They didn't even know what's going on. So, you know, home is definitely where the heart is, right? We're all interested in what we're doing. What's going on? So,
it's kooky, and that's, you know, again, this country. I don't know. We'll just see. Like you say, it's that's kind of what we do here on this show. Is we, you know, we talk a little bit about what's going on in the world, how it relates to family, how it relates to you know, real estate for sure, and often it does. I mean, the economy seems like buying homes, you know, and the ability of people to buy homes is a really pretty one of the leading indicators, right, of how the country's doing financially. And, you know, as that goes, you know, so much of our country.
And it's interesting. We don't want to be, you know, everybody has their right to their opinion and their race. I was at a meeting last night, and it was a CEO connection, and it was amazing. And the CEO of GoDaddy received an award, and it was just an amazing group of people that are leading companies and leading businesses. And when you heard people talk of what they were saying, they were really about change and about making a difference and how do we do this locally, and everything. And not so much, you didn't hear who struck John or da-da-da-da. You didn't hear it at such a negative level. It was so positive. And what can we do that's good? Really, really interesting. I think that's just something. It's interesting because we are probably in the marriage counseling and we're getting into the marriage weekend. I would think if you and Monica do the marriage counseling, marriage workshops with people, and I would think that's the same thing as communication. You know, and you mentioned husband and wife maybe fill out, write to each other, and then they read it. And I bet you there's things even a husband and wife do not know or get surprised. Oh, I didn't know you felt that way, or I didn't know you thought this, and all that. It's really how deep it gets. And just imagine somebody we're talking to on the street or that we're just bumping into, hi, how are you? You know, we could have a 5 or 10 minute conversation, and it could be easily misunderstood, you know, when we're bringing up our opinions about what's going on and everything. But just, it kind of, for me, brings home how we can all try to understand the other person, maybe, you know, and try to have a little bit of empathy for even if their opinion is totally different than yours. And if we could just kind of do that a little bit, I think it would help.
It would be a whole lot better. Well, you are tuned to Realty Universal Radio, and again, my name is Randy Zachary, and Natalie Mullinex with us. She is mobile. She is. Where are you? You're driving somewhere along the East Coast right now.
I'm driving from Philadelphia down to Maryland. I'm on 95. The traffic
Highway 95.
It's actually 3:20 in the afternoon this time zone, and not in the rush hour traffic yet. So. And I have my ear plugged in so I can talk to you guys.
That's
really cool. That's so cool about doing this radio, but we do it virtually. We can be anywhere and get on and start talking. I love that. I love it.
Yeah, and that's right. It's 3:20 on the East Coast, and it is 2:20 in the Central Time Zone, and that's where Mark Rhodes tends to hang out there in Springfield, Missouri, and he is on the line with us. Mark, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Randy. How are you guys?
Oh,
well.
Thanks for coming on. Great.
Yeah, good to have you. So, this kind of a three-way... What's that?
I said it's cold and rainy in the Ozarks today. We've been waiting for this, and so, it's a good day to talk on the phone.
Nice, yeah. This three-way thing, this three-way kind of talk without seeing each other in the studio is a little weird, but we will figure it out, no doubt about it. And Mark is we talked about earlier, the national director for the Marriage Encounter with the Assemblies of God, and it's a weekend that is amazingly powerful. It's structured to help couples connect and reconnect. And we mentioned how quick and easy it is for couples to, over, you know, a period of months, weeks, months, years in their marriage, kind of live separate lives without even realizing it, and adrift, if you will. And this whole reconnect thing with the Marriage Encounter, and Monica and I have been through it, and we actually sat in on and went through it with Mark Rhodes back in Illinois, and Becky, his wife. And so, Mark... this is pretty cool, man. I know you guys have been doing this for a while. How did you get involved in the Marriage Encounter? I know it's an event. Monica and I went to one that was sponsored by an Episcopal church once in California many years ago, And when we went and saw the one that, you know, that you guys did, we of course noted the differences, but saw the similarities as well. Kind of the baseline is the same in many, many ways. And talk about how you, and we're going to get into kind of the nuts and bolts of it, you know, here in just a few minutes, but how did you guys get involved in it?
Wow, Randy, it's a crazy story. We had just been married about a year and a half in June of 1979. Becky came in on a Wednesday night from work and said, "Hey, everybody at work's going to this marriage thing. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Sure. Yeah,
no.
Why not?
Oh, sure.
When is it? Friday night?" "Friday night? Friday night it is? Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll go." And they said, she said, "Well, good, because my boss and my secretary are both going to be there." I said, "Oh, wow." I'm thinking, "Oh, I'm going to have to stand up and say everything about me from now on. This is going to be crazy. I don't want to, you know, I saw something somewhere where these people were all sitting around in a corner and had a great big ball of yarn. And they would throw the yarn at each other. And if you caught the yarn, you had to tell something terribly embarrassing or terribly, oh, God." I'm thinking, "I don't want to do that. This is what that's going to be. Then they're going to make me walk through oatmeal with no shoes on. Why in the world we want to do this? We got a good thing going here. We'll be married a year and a half. And, you know, we don't have any trouble except, well, for that one or two things, you know, that part and then that other part. And then that part. Uh-huh. And then when you get mad at me and then I get mad at you. And then that same old thing happens. And then, but other than that, you know, we don't really
other
have any trouble. Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, and beside that, your boss is going to be there, and your secretary is going to be there. And yeah. We don't need to go that. Anyway, we went to that, and it, too, was an Episcopal marriage and kind of weekend. And I remember saying, "Oh, I don't know how to do that bowing thing or any of the, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do there." And, you know, I was raised in a whole different faith tradition. We did a lot of crazy things, too, but it wasn't that kind of stuff. So what in the world are we going to do? Well, we got there on Friday night, and we waited 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 because they sent the presenting team to Springfield, Illinois. Well, that's only 6.5 hours from Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go get them. A gentleman here who owns a theme park sent his private plane up to get them and brought them back. So we didn't even get started till about almost midnight. And
it was
rigorous. Oh my goodness! I thought, these people, how did they ever get a room full of people? And they were up there reading their presentations. They read them right off of a piece of paper. They couldn't even, you know, they weren't spontaneous at all. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how in the world is any of this going to work? Any of this going to work? But you know what? As the weekend went on, we learned so much. We gained so much valuable information. And, you know, Randy, and you and Monica had been on, you know, it's so private. Nobody knows anything about you going in. Nobody knows anything about you leaving. They don't know anything about you. So you can talk about your most heartfelt need. And actually, I think it was James Dobson who said, the crux of the weekend is this. The Holy Spirit floats the weekend to whatever you need. So if you need, you know, if guys call in here, I explain it like this. You know, if you need a tune-up, you can go across the street to Joe's Lube and whatever, and they can change the oil and get you ready for vacation or whatever. But if you really need some serious work, you go on up to the radiator shop up here. They take the cap off your radiator. They lift your whole car up. They completely redo it, and they put the cap back on. And that's what some people need and some people deserve. But it was just amazing. So we worked with the Episcopal folks for about 2 years, and we kept filling up their weekends for them. And finally, sorry, that's my email going off. Finally, they said, why don't you guys just start your own? And we and about 10 other couples got together, and we took their basic outline and started in. And that was 54,483 couples ago, something like that. So,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how we evolved, and we've been doing it ever since.
You know, it's again, I had the same kind of thought that you did, because I think we're similar in, I think, our presentation styles. We like to be, you know, ad lib a little bit here and there, add some spice, some fun, and I remember
right.
being struck even by the...
It's called ADD.
Especially
Ray.
By the...
It's called ADD.
ADD, yeah, there it is. ADD. And before we go, you got to tell the joke that, the one joke you tell about the cell phone, somebody's cell phone at the gym, whatever
okay,
that was.
Man,
so remember that one.
I can give you the whole thing.
Yeah,
keep
so
talking.
We were... But I remember going to the one at the Episcopal Church and thinking the same thing, man, that, gosh, these guys are reading and this is boring and it's crazy. But it's set up where there are these sessions and they, you know, again, it's not built on, you know, entertainment value per se. It's built on
right.
you getting serious about, you know, the material, and you listen and you find your – I found myself listening to the people even though they were reading, so that didn't really – that didn't really matter that they weren't, you know, ad-libbing or standing up or being, you know, entertaining per se. And then the cool thing was the going back to the room thing, the idea of going back and writing. So why don't we, you know, since we're there kind of talking about it, let's talk about how the weekend goes a little bit of the format. I know you don't want to give away all of the
sure.
secret sauce,
no problem.
But talk a little
yeah.
bit about the overview of how it goes.
Well, we start on a Friday night about 8 o'clock. We have a couple of sessions that night, mostly introductory. Hey, you know what? We're going to eat down here in the morning, and here's this room, and this is going to be what happens here. And then we kind of give them an overview in that first session, and we tell them there's going to be a presentation. There's three team couples usually on the weekend. One is a clergy couple. They've worked in the church. They've had church. They know church. And then the other two are lay couples. The presentations are short and informative. They're anywhere between 25 and 30 minutes, 35 minutes maybe at the most. But you've got four people talking. The back to the reading real quick. The couples who present know their material so well that they hardly look down, but once in a while they do. But so it's not like they are reading their talks and listening with it's not like that. They're
yeah.
well versed with what they're going to say. So after each 25 to 30 minute presentation, it may be on intimacy, in-laws, outlaws, money, your ministry, retirement, and it could be even on some crazy subjects like God and death and money and sex and everything. I mean, when we start one of the presentations called Areas for Reaching Out, and we start to talk about sex, everybody there perks right up. It's like, okay, they're getting right. I knew they were going to talk about it sometime. It's time to talk about
yeah.
it. All right, here they go. What are they going to say? Well, we don't get like, you know, triple X or anything. What we do is we tell how it feels in a relationship to say no. You know, everybody's
right.
had that. You know, oh, my goodness, that's a – and we talk about how to accept your other person's feelings, rejection, toleration, acceptance. That's a big thing that we talk about, because most of the time if couples get into it about something, it's, you shouldn't feel like that, or, oh, I wish you didn't feel like that, or, you know, I know a lot of people, and there's a lot of people who have a lot worse off than you do, sweetie, okay? You know, or it's all about
yeah.
you, princess. Well, those are all
yeah.
rejection of feelings that the other person has. So
right.
it's, we teach a little bit, but then we tell a whole lot. So all these different sessions go 25, 35 minutes at the most. And then we give you a question. We may give you a handout or an exercise, send you up to your own private room. And that's where all the communication gets done. There's no kumbaya. We don't sit around and talk to each other out loud. In fact, the only time the couples are ever asked to say anything out loud is Friday night. We say, in that very first session, we say, you know, we've seen your name on this list for 3 weeks now. Why don't you introduce yourselves to us? And they say, I'm Randy. This is Monica. We're over here from West Dundee. And that's it. You know, you don't have to say anything else the entire weekend. We don't go around the room and go, okay, you with the red sweater and that Dodgers cap on, what do you think, you know? okay, all right, well, no, we don't do that. So that's
yeah.
the way it works, and then we call you back down for another session. That's basically what I can tell you about how the weekend works. Number one, it's so private, I don't know what goes on in those rooms upstairs.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
found
well,
that the perfect husband. You want me to go that now or later?
Oh.
That joke.
Let's do that. This was pretty funny. You were talking about why don't you give the context of this joke, but Natalie,
yeah.
This is pretty funny stuff right here.
The context is this. This is a lot of times when the couples come back to the room, like we just called them back and they're just kind of getting settled in, we have a joke that we tell, or we have a little video clip from Everybody Loves Raymond, something like that, you know, to kind of get everybody back in the groove. But this one's called The Perfect Husband. It says, several men are in a locker room at a golf club. Cell phone rings, and the guy picks up the phone, clicks on the speaker, and says, hello. And the lady says, hi, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? And the guy says, yes. And the lady says, I'm at the shops now, and I found this beautiful leather coat. It's only $2,000. Can I buy it? And the man says, sure, sure. Go ahead if you like it that much. The lady says, oh, I also stopped by the Lexus dealership and saw those new models. I really found one I like. And he says, okay, how much? And she says, $90,000. The guy said, whoa, okay, but for that price, I want all the bells and whistles. Well, the lady also says, great. One more thing, babe. I was just talking to Janie and found out that that house that we really wanted is back on the market. They're asking only $980,000 for it. And the man says, well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and make an offer of $900,000. They'll probably take it, but if they don't, if that's what you really want, we'll go the extra 80. The lady says, okay, I'll see you later. I love you so much. The man says, bye-bye, and hangs up. The other men in the locker room are staring at him in astonishment. Their mouths are wide open. He turns to them and asks, hey, anybody know whose phone this is? So, yeah. Yeah, you can have anything you want as long as it's on somebody else's dime.
Exactly.
Oh, that is funny. Oh,
good.
Man. I mean, that's one of those jokes. I mean, I went to comedy college, so I know how to construct a joke. And this guy here, man, that drew me in. I'll never forget it. I'm like, man, that's good stuff, Rob. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't care who you are. And you went out and bought Monica that Lexus and that coat and that house, right? When you got back to California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put it on our vision board is what we did. Yeah, there we go.
Cool.
We went back to our little duplex in Champaign, Illinois after that weekend. But, you know. So went through Springfield in our move from Champaign to California. We took Highway 40 through St. Louis and Springfield and yada, yada, yada. So I can say now I've been to Springfield. I've been to Springfield.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If I could get close enough to wet my finger and put it right on your shoulder, it would go.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious about, this marriage encounter thing again. This is kind of, and I heard somebody say, make this statement at a marriage event once, and it really kind of rang true. He said, you know, because a lot of people put, like, a lot of pressure on these marriage events, right? You probably have couples that show up, and they're really in trouble, and they're thinking that somehow this is going to, you know, this is going to fix their marriage just this weekend.
Right.
And I heard a guy say one time, he goes, you know what, at the outset of the evening, he goes, you know what, you guys, a lot of you are here, and it's kind of, you know, you're thinking somehow this weekend is going to fix it. If it doesn't, frankly, some of you are thinking, you know, it's over. And let me just help you understand something here. This weekend isn't going to fix everything. In fact, he said, here's the way I look at it. Events like this inspire us, but what changes us is process. So he says,
right. You
know, events inspire, process changes us, meaning you can get inspired and maybe get some tools this weekend, but you're going to need to get into some sort of a process, right, to continue.
Practice.
Yeah. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, the concept that we use on the weekend is called the dialogue process, and you hit it right on the head there. You listen to that presentation. We give you a question. You work through that question in your mind. You think about it. You process it. Then you write it down. Then you go back up to the room with your beloved, and you talk about what you wrote. And it's so simple that anybody could have thought of it, but they don't do it. That's the thing. We're too busy. You know, we've got things to do and Facebook to check and work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, work. We've got to go work, too, all that. But at the end of the weekend, we tell the couples, hey, these are the tools. We've taught you how to use the tools this weekend. Here's a toolbox. Here's everything that you need. Take these home. Do it. And the process will instill in you a much better situation at home, a better understanding of yourself. You know, Scripture says, in understanding, be men. Well, but that was the old way to do it. It says, in understanding, grow up. So if you listen for understanding, and Covey says this, and several other thousand people have said it over the 100 years, listen to be understood and listen to understand. So if you listen to each other, because life gets in the way, you guys know that, and things happen, and you've got to get back to these guys, and you've got to answer that email, and what happened to those numbers I was looking for? They were in that folder, and it's gone, and when you get in, when you go home, you go, oh, you know. So they say that the average American couple communicates 2.5 minutes a day, and that's probably pretty close to right. Pretty close to right. Bye. See you later. Gotta go. Hey, what do you want to do for dinner? Stop by there and get a couple of those fillets. I love those on the grill. You know. Okay. Bye. And that's it. Or you call and you get into it on the phone. I had that sitting right there on the desk. You moved it. I don't know where it is. I'm at the office now. And you know. And by the way, did you know that Jimmy's in the principal's office again? It's your side of the family.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's your side of the family. You know. So.
Yeah.
So people are just too busy. It's a lifestyle. But it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a process. If you can take the tools we teach you, go home and use them, and it's only going to take 10 minutes. That's the thing. 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference in your relationship inside your marriage, outside your marriage with other people, and you'll be able to – it's just easier to function and be blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, simple. I mean, simple stuff, and yet you're right. It's – We I think, you know, we spend more time, you know, on so many other things, and our marriages could be much, much better with just some daily intentional, like you said, tools, you know, connecting with each other. I think Gottman talks about turning toward, you know, your spouse,
right,
20 minutes a day. And I think whenever I say
right.
20 minutes a day, I see guys just roll their eyes like, are you kidding me? You know, because when he says turning toward, he means, you know, not the stuff you were mentioning, which is just logistics, right? Hey, we got to go to the store. We got to pick up this. We got to do that. But he's talking about turning off the phone, the TV, no kids. How are you doing? I mean, how are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's tough, but it starts to build empathy. It starts to build oneness, right? You start to really, you know, it's got to start somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere.
Right.
And that biblical oneness thing, it's so flowery and sounds like such a good thing. Oh, the two shall become one. No, oh, you know, I've been to the Weekends to Remember where they really talk about biblical oneness. And it's, man, it's a process that takes practice and work, and you guys have those tools. And again, for the Marriage Encounter, and by the way, we're talking to Mark Rhodes here on Realty Universal Radio, and again, the Assembly of God version, if you will, of the Marriage Encounter, and it's agme.org, right, the website, people want to connect?
agme.org, yes it is, agme.org. You touched on something just a minute ago, Randy, and some people come and they don't know if their marriage is going to make it. We have a two-track system. We have marriage encounter, and that's for couples who are just experiencing every day, run-of-the-mill disillusionment, I'm a little tired of you and you're a little tired of me, or we want this thing to be better. Then we have Marriage Restored, which is marriagerestored.com, and that's for couples who have experienced the deep water of addiction, adultery, gambling, drug addiction, you know, all these serious matters. It's marriagerestored.com. It's the same pattern we have, but the presenters have been through the same deep water, and they are 5 years on the other side of their marriage crisis.
Wow.
So that is really neat. There's a couple of it's a little bit different than this. There's one presentation called To Trust Again. There's one called The Past is the Past. And it means a lot to the people who have gone on the weekends. They will fly from Connecticut to Dallas. They're regional. Those are regional. We have Marriage Encounter in 32 different places, but these Marriage Restored weekends, we do at least 10 in the fall and 10 in the spring. They're regional. You just have to go in there and find them. But people come from all walks of life and all places everywhere to just rekindle their marriage, and more than rekindle, fix it. And the Lord meets them there. It's pretty neat. Mm.
That's cool, man. That's, yeah, because you're right. I mean, people show up, and I love the way you kind of drew the distinction between just the run-of-the-mill marriage stuff, which, you know, there's enough pressure there, you know, alone.
Right.
But when you've got that other stuff going on that hasn't been resolved, it's almost like that run-of-the-mill marriage stuff seems like impossible to correct. And yet for Monica and I, and our story involved infidelity, and as we got that healed, the run-of-the-mill marriage stuff like wasn't so overwhelming. We're like, oh, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now that that's been healed, and you know, now we can work on this other stuff and know that you know, that we can do it. And I love the whole deal. I love the weekend idea and I love the writing it down, because I enjoy writing, but like when you go back to the room and like you're writing this, you know, this letter to your wife or this letter to your husband on a certain topic or, you know, I think most guys, and I don't know if your research kind of bears this out, but most guys probably prefer that, because they're not, man, they don't know how to say the things they want to say, right?
That's very true. I remember a weekend that we were on in the very beginning. A guy was sitting by. He wrote like one sentence the very first time that we sat down to write. The second time he wrote maybe two or three lines. By the end of the weekend, he was writing paragraphs, because he had finally gotten in touch with things that he hadn't thought about in forever, or maybe never, you know.
I have a question, since you've done so many thousands of them and you're so experienced in it. What would be the one thing that you find, I mean, I would imagine communication is key and everything, but what would be the one thing that you find in any of these couples that are just calling it quits? What is missing, or what is the biggest factor? Is it not communicating or not being real honest with each other? I mean, there's got to be one thing that always stands out, as a common denominator. Or maybe not.
It's communication.
It's really
communication and busyness. Okay. Life is so busy. It steals from your intimacy, and I don't mean just in the bedroom. I mean, you know, when you say, when you sit down beside each other and say, what's going on? You know, I wish you would get some help for that ankle that's broken. I know it's got arthritis in it, but you're walking like an old person, you know, and it's just a way to communicate beyond coming into the room, throwing something down on the kitchen table and said, that's it. We're going to talk about this right now. Okay. That's what happens. It boils and simmers and simmers, and then all of a sudden explodes and gets on everybody. It hurts a lot. But the tools we teach, the dialogue tool, you can write that down and be very soft and very kind and yet be very assertive that I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about your, it could be sweet things. I'm worried about your mom. She seems like she's really, really going downhill these days, you know, that girl of yours, she's really flirting with some bad boys. I mean, you can say all this stuff without having a fight over it. And that's what the neat thing is.
Yeah, because I think when couples approach an emotionally charged topic, they don't understand those tools you're talking about that you teach them, and so they just jump in with usually a tone of voice that, you know.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So the tone of voice is not good, and it's often accusatory somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they personalized whatever that subject is. And so before the guy even has a chance, and I'll just say this from the guy's perspective, often it's before the guy has a chance to respond, you know, he's just overwhelmed. And then
exactly.
And I found most guys don't know what they're feeling, so their default mechanism is, you know, anger. And
exactly.
You know, they just bail. They'll either leave the room, drive away, or blow up, right? That's what they got.
Right. Yeah. 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 My friend said, you know, Mark, I only have some feelings. I'm hungry, I'm horny, and I'm sleepy. That's it. You know? So I don't know what all the rest of this stuff is about. Don't give me a notebook to write all my stuff in. He said, I can do it on the back of my business card. But by the end of the weekend, he's changed quite a bit.
Wow.
I gotta write that down. I'm hungry, horny, sleepy. Yeah.
And sleepy. And I think he threw in angry after that. He thought of another one.
Yeah. Wow, man. This is so good. It's so good. Again, it's the Marriage Encounter, and it's agme.org is the website if you want to see if there's one in a location near you. And then the other one, again, is Marriage Restore.
Hey, there's one in Sacramento.
What's that?
Coming up. There's one in Sacramento coming up, October 13th and 15th. And I think there's about four, maybe six spaces left on that one. They're small.
Really?
These are small. Yeah, there's only 18 to 20, 25 couples on this weekend, so it's not a huge thing. That's why when we say over 54,000 couples have been, that's at 17, 18, or 20 at a time. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's what I love about it, because you're not intimidated, but you're not walking into this huge hotel ballroom with 200 people. You know, I've been to those events where you're just like, wow, this is a little overwhelming. It's a small group. And I found, again, you know, because it's a small group, you tend to, even if you're not inclined to be chatty as a guy, and a lot of guys kind of aren't, you know, you end up talking to people just because you're there and you kind of and then you find yourself feeling more comfortable with it. And before you leave, you literally feel pretty close to these couples, like you've just been through this event together.
Exactly, and you know nothing about them. That's the crazy thing. I mean, at dinner, at the meals, you know, we have hearty meals. They're very good. And at the meal question, we have what we call meal questions. And it's simple things like, hey, did you guys take a honeymoon? If you could buy any vehicle for your spouse, what would it be? What great sporting event would you like to go to together? You know, these kinds of things, because the couples don't know each other, we want everybody to feel comfortable. So it's really neat. Even though we are Assemblies of God, Randy, you know this, we don't talk church. We talk scripture. We may talk about the Lord, but we don't talk church. So anybody with a completely different faith tradition than ours, or somebody with no faith at all, can feel very comfortable on a Marriage Encounter weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of blown away the one we were at there in West Dundee, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Yeah, baby. You did a poll, or somehow, or maybe you just shared this with me, but the fact that, I don't know what it was, but probably half or more of the couples weren't even necessarily churched couples or heard about it through church
kind of
channels.
They find it online. They'll Google. I remember one lady, we had a first responders weekend here in Springfield, and one lady Googled, hey, help my marriage. And we came up on the SEO, on the search engine optimization score, really high. And she went online then and saw it and came all the way down from a completely different place, and their marriage was saved. And we have, you know, I could keep you on here for days telling stories over the last 36 years. So
yeah, no, I love it, man. I love what you're doing, and I love that.
Thank you.
It's an opportunity for couples to do something in a low key environment, and I think most guys, man, again, we always joke around, my wife and I, when we do our little marriage seminars, that, you know, we congratulate the guys because we get it. Most guys would rather go to a root canal than a marriage event, you know.
Right.
Where,
exactly.
Where they're going to just get browbeaten into, you know, you know what a failure they are as the head of household. And, you know, especially when they go to church ones. I don't know why church people love to,
husband
love to
bash.
Kind of browbeat.
Right.
Yeah.
They do. We don't do
that.
Yeah,
not at all.
That's one thing about Marriage Encounter. It starts out at a very positive thing, a very positive place, and just builds on up gradually. The questions at the end of each session get a little bit harder every time. First one is like, why did I come here? What I hope to gain? Everybody goes, well, I came because I heard about it on Randy and Monica's radio show, you know, or Jimmy and Sarah said that we should go. So we went. And then the questions like Saturday afternoon, here's one that's really interesting. In what areas of our lives am I not willing to listen to you? Now, everybody comes with the other question, you know, why aren't you listening to me? But we turn the tables on them and say, why aren't you listening? And, oh, wow. Yeah, it's just amazing. And the other one is, I'm going to give away one of the huge secrets. It's called the three closest moments. What are the three closest moments when I felt closest to you? That goes something like that. And that is such a healing time. People will tell us, you know, he told me something I have never even thought of. It was when, and then the other, it was like, wow. And I always ask a couple at the table, not what their three instances were, but I always say, was any of those in tragedy? And yes, usually one out of the three will be when we had that wreck, or when my mother was passing away, or, you know, it was, or when the baby was so sick and in intensive care. It's like, wow. And it's funny how those troubled times, the Lord draws people together even in those troubled times. So it's just, like I said, I could keep you on here all day long.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, good stuff. Mark Rhodes with us. He's the National Director for the Assemblies of God version of, if you will, of the Marriage Encounter. And again, agme.org is the website. And there's one in Sacramento coming up. Again, if you just go on the website there, you can see where they're scheduled all over the country throughout the year. Now, you mentioned the Marriage Restored one, where people have struggled with addictions or infidelity, or, you know, kind of really, like you said, deep waters. There aren't as many of those around the country per se, right? Is that what you're saying? But they
we probably do 20 to 25 of those a year, and they're regional. So, in Atlanta and San Antonio, Council Bluffs, Iowa, Indianapolis, Dallas, West Palm Beach, Columbus, Ohio, Naperville, Illinois, your old stomping grounds, Tampa. So, yeah.
Okay.
They're just kind of regional.
Yeah. If that's something that you, and I find more and more, I mean, by the time couples, I know, you know, as a pastor or in our ministry with Better Marriage Today, it seems like, man, by the time people show up, and want quote unquote marriage counseling, it's been a few years of of struggling through something, trying to get past something, and again, that's where the Marriage Restored ministry it can be very, very helpful.
It's powerful. 70 yeah. something percent. They've got some real numbers on this in the last 15 years. 70% have been helped and stay together after a Marriage Restored weekend. Of course, there are some who already come with papers in their pocket, and all they want to do is say, look, I even went to that thing and didn't help her at all, so I'm out. But for the real right reasons, and let me go back to one thing. We don't take any credit for any of this. It is the Holy Spirit working through the people who are open and vulnerable and say, this happened to us, and we are better now, and you can be better too. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing.
You get credit, though, for, you know, God speaking through you and you putting it together and taking the leadership to do it and think, oh, my gosh, the work that had to be involved to get this going, to get it going, keep it growing, keep it going, even with God's blessing. So you just deserve a lot of credit. And I know what you mean.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we've had a few burning the candle at every end. Yeah.
And there's 12 o'clock. Yeah. 12 o'clock started off on the 12 midnight one was one of the first, huh? That's pretty interesting.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to ask the gentleman who took his plane and brought people in. Was he married back then?
Yes. He owned Silver Dollar City down here in the Ozarks, so. He's a great guy.
But I mean, back then when he, not now, but I mean, back then when he was he married when he brought the plane? I mean, when he brought, when he came into the church? Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, church, everybody kept catching
it. He has a history of doing great things for good people. He really does. He's very, very good.
That means a lot.
Wow. It's been amazing, man. Again, Mark Rhodes of the Marriage Encounter. The Assembly of God version, as we said, of this weekend. And again, agme.org is the website, and you can go from there. I'm sure they're linked to the Marriage Restored as well. And I believe that's marriagerestored.org or com, right?
.com. Marriagerestored.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, I knew this would fly by with you. I knew it would fly by.
Wow, we're done. So, you're going to make me get out there, I bet.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been fun. It's been
good.
Awesome, man.
Good. Appreciate
God bless you.
It.
Say hi to Becky
you
for
guys,
us.
I will. Take
God
care.
Bless.
Take care. And,
God bless.
We'll
thank
see you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
See you in Sacktown. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Mark Rhodes. Man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Really.
So I told you, did I tell you that the guy was funny and that
amazing. Oh yeah.
The guy can spin some yarns, but the deal is, I mean, again, having done this for so long, you know, again, and being so upbeat and positive about marriage and about, you know, about the solutions to marriage, and you know, a lot of people talk about the problems, you know, and the challenges, but it really it's events like his and organizations and ministries like his that make it possible. And how does this tie into real estate?
Effort.
We talked about this at the beginning. It ties into real estate because, you know, I know, Natalie, we talked about it. You know, people who are married buy houses and, they need to be getting along.
Home is where the heart is, right? And it encompasses all of it. And better to have a happy home, right, than a miserable home. It's so important and you can have a happy home, whether it's a tiny home, whether it's a big home, you know, it's communicating and having that commitment together, right? So, but I think that's something you know with the marriage workshops, that the home is supposed to be your haven, and your marriage should be your haven too, right? Where two people are coming together as one, and they can, you know, help each other and bounce things off each other and look after each other. That's such a good support system, right? Rather than to not do that.
Yeah.
So I love it. He was great. I hope we can have him back on again. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And
no,
the website
was,
again,
good.
So people that know.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in or missed it, it's AGME. So it's A as in Apple, G as in Go, M as in Mother, E as in Education, AGME.org. And they're all over the country. So you might want to check that out again.
And do they do anything online?
Yeah.
I didn't want to interrupt you guys. Do they do it online too? Like, can people do that online, or they have to go to the place?
You know, I think this one is really pretty much an in-person deal. You know, it's pretty much kind of the whole thing kind of is predicated on face-to-face and the, you know, on-site kind of process of writing. I imagine you could kind of do that. I imagine you could kind of do an online version, but
it's much easier, I'm sure.
Yeah, in person, you've got more control over what's going on and making sure people are doing what they're supposed to do and all that stuff. So anyway, that's another show flying by. That was awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Randy, for putting that together. That was wonderful. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
What's up, world? And
thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.